This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. We'll talk with sports psychologist Bob Rotella in just a moment about his famous client list. But first, the Washington Post published a think piece on how Taylor Swift's bad blood is clearly about fellow pop diva Katy Perry. In an interview with Rolling Stone, Taylor confessed it was inspired by a female musical artist who'd basically tried to sabotage an entire arena tour. A bunch of Taylor's backup dancers on her Red Tour were allegedly poached by Perry for her Prism tour. Taylor said, "For years, I was never sure if we were friends or not. She would come up to me at award shows and say something and walk away, and I would think, are we friends or did she just give me the harshest insult of my life?" Taylor also said she did something so horrible I was like, "Oh, we're just straight up enemies." And it wasn't even about a guy. It had to do with business. She basically tried to sabotage my entire arena tour. She tried to hire a bunch of people out from under me, and I'm surprisingly non-confrontational. You would not believe how much I hate conflict. So now I have to avoid her. It's awkward, and I don't like it. Oh, and there's a line in Bad Blood referencing Ghost, a song sung by Perry that was co-written by Max Martin, who also wrote Bad Blood. Taylor Swift says that misogyny is ingrained in people from the time they are born. In an interview with Maxim magazine, the Grammy-winning singer says a man writes about his feelings from a vulnerable place, he is called brave. But when a woman does it, people say she's whining. Swift adds that feminism is probably the most important movement that you could embrace because it's just basically another word for equality. A New York Mets fan was caught on camera groping a woman. The Met could be seen on the third baseline during the seventh inning of Sunday's game, grabbing the breast of a woman next to him. The woman can be seen pushing away the man's hand. The man and woman seem to attend the game together, and their relationship is not known. Dr. Bob Rotella has written a new book, How Champions Think. Hey, Bob, where are you this morning?
I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia.
All right, so let's talk about this book from Simon & Schuster. It's called How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. And Dr. Bob Rotella is with us, the author of the book. Dr. Rotella, how are you?
I'm just great. How are you doing?
Terrific. Now, what are you a doctor of?
My PhD is in sports psychology.
Well, of course, and that's why you know all these stories. Were you the person that actually worked with some of these big-name athletes?
Worked with all of them. They're in the book. I worked with them, yeah.
I guess the top of the list is LeBron James, whose team is trying to win an NBA title this year. I don't know if it's going to happen. Now he's back with the Cleveland Cavaliers. What did you work with LeBron James about?
Well, I'll begin with, you know, the first thing he said to me when I asked, what can I do for you, is I would like to be the greatest basketball player in history. And I know I'm not going to get there if I don't become a better three-point shooter, a better free-throw shooter. And I've got to learn more about being a leader. We started, it was like I'm asked to be the leader of the team, and a lot of the players are older than I am. And so we talked about Michael Jordan. We talked about Bill Russell, who I think are the two greatest players because teams win the most championships. And so one of the points was, well, you're not going to be the greatest player if your teams don't win championships. So you got to do that. And to do that, you got to be a leader. And you're right, you got to make threes, and you got to be able to make free throws, because you're going to have the ball a lot. And, that's where we started. Some of it was about really putting a plan together for, you know, how many threes, you know, off a dribble and off a hard cut and catch and shoot he was going to take every day. And part of it was really putting a visualization program together and making videos of him making threes and free throws. That's all part of it. And trying to get in a great state of mind. I thought the other night was a good example. I mean, you know, when you see great players who are great leaders, early in the game, they try and build the confidence of their teammates and distribute the ball and help them feel good. And late in the game, it's like, well, okay, it's time for me to take over. And yet, you know, the beauty of the game, I've also worked a lot with Derrick Rose over the years. And, you know, Derrick has a lot of the same ambitions. And he's been through so many injuries, and it's amazing his dedication in coming back from. And the other night, he had a great game, but his team got beat by LeBron's shot at the buzzer. And I think that's what's neat at the top level. You have a lot of talented people who are really dedicated and motivated. And I'd say LeBron and Derek are two that, you know, have really combined talent with a mental and physical discipline and work ethic that's very impressive. And I should add, we ought to appreciate this more, that they've gone from very poor to extremely wealthy and have kept their desire, you know, for greatness. And I think it's... it's one thing to be poor and hungry. It's another thing to be very wealthy and hungry, and I very much admire that in both of them.
Well, how did they find you, Doctor? Were they recommended by other athletes that you had helped earlier?
Well, that's typically how it happens, but I would say in LeBron's case, it was from an assistant general manager with back when he was with Cleveland the first time, who had played at Virginia, Lance Blanks, and then went to Texas to play and then played in the NBA. And in Derrick Rose's case, I've worked with Coach Calipari, the Kentucky coach, for 20 years, and I was at UMass and then at Memphis, which is where I started working with Derrick. And so, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, the world of sport is a small world, and basically if you help people, word of mouth gets to you, basically. They find a way to get to you if they think they can help. You can help them.
And how do you actually help them? Is it, you say, the visualization? They have to think about making the shots?
Yeah, in other words, you know, if you're struggling with a part of your game, you typically would spend a lot of time seeing yourself miss threes or miss free throws or seeing yourself as a poor shooter. And part of the change is competence, so you have to practice and develop better skill. And the other part of it is bringing your mind up to the level of your skill. I'd actually rather have your mind ahead of your physical skill. But yeah, at some point you have to spend a lot of time seeing yourself making threes off a dribble, off a catch and shoot. You have to see yourself making game-winning shots. You have to see yourself making putts. Yeah, that's a big, big piece of the puzzle.
Were you an athlete as you were growing up?
Yeah, I played football, basketball, baseball, and lacrosse. And played basketball and lacrosse in college, and then played tennis, and now I play a lot of golf. But, I've been in the athletics my whole life. Coached lacrosse at the University of Connecticut for 6 years, basketball at the University High School, and then I coached lacrosse at the University of Virginia for 2 years before I got a chance to start a doctoral program and work with all the teams.
So it's interesting. Do you think you'd be as successful a sports psychologist if you hadn't been an athlete before?
No, I don't think I would have been anywhere near as good if I hadn't been an athlete and if I hadn't coached. I think both played a huge role. I also helped. I had a cousin in Staten Island, New York, named Sal Soma, who was a legendary coach. I mean, they wrote a book about him called November 1959. But he and Vince Lombardi were best friends. When, you know, Lombardi was a high school coach for 17 years at St. Cecilia's High School in New Jersey, and my cousin Sal and Vince did talks all over the East Coast for 17 years, and I started hearing about him and Lombardi when I was in fifth grade, and so I got very interested in the role of the mind, and then as you became an athlete, you hung around coaching offices. They were always talking about game players and practice players and how to get people to play better or to believe in themselves or to keep their composure, and so I was fortunate. On the other hand, I was probably the only one in my family who was really interested in hearing my cousin Sal's stories about sports. But so, I mean, I had a love for it at a very early age, and all of that helped.
Now, the one name on this list that kind of jumps out at me because he's not a sports guy is Seal, the singer. How did you help him?
Well, I mean, Seal was about 34, 35 years old when, you know, he hit it big with Kiss by a Rose. And won a Grammy and went on the Tonight Show and kind of stood on stage very still with a scratchy voice that he has, which made it softer and quieter. And basically, his manager was going to get another chance to go play Wembley Stadium. And they told him, I mean, you got to turn it loose. I mean, you got to get up there and perform. And I think Seal came and spent a couple days, and if you watch him now, I mean, I get a huge smile on my face every time I watch him now because he is really animated and really confident and loose and free and full of himself. And, you know, he's showing the world that he's a great entertainer as well as a good songwriter and singer and performer. And, you know, that's what it's about. You know, I've worked with John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, and with him it's been more about getting in the right state of mind to write songs. He's responsible for most of the songs for his band. And what happens is with songwriters is they start worrying that they've gave away their only 12 songs before they made any money, or they worry they don't have any more in them. So, I mean, you got to get rid of all that doubt and fear and just let whatever you're thinking or feeling come out of you. And, you know, and that's the same thing with athletes, is you got to turn off your conscious brain and go unconscious and just, you know, go with your instinct. And All the training in the world is to get you to that place.
So this new book, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life, obviously any of us could benefit from reading it and kind of adopting some of your philosophies.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is a book, you know, for people who like sport, play sport, but it's also about business, it's about life, it's about putting your life together. And it's about daring people to dream big dreams and have big ideas. And everybody as a little kid starts off with big ideas and dreams, and too many people give up on those ideas as they grow up and settle for something much less. These are stories about people who decided to, if anything, enlarge their dreams as they grew up and got more educated.
Well, Dr. Bob Rotella, thank you so much for a few minutes, and we thank you for the insight into your book, How Champions Think.
Great talking with you, Mike. Have a great one.
With sports psychologist Dr. Bob Rotella, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. The inventor of the most hated motorcycle by Harley-Davidson enthusiasts died at the age of 85. His bike may be the most hated motorcycle by owners of Harley-Davidsons.
Hell yeah!
Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Along the sidewalk at a recent ride-in bike show, I found a Yamaha V-Max parked on the grass and two bikers on the sidewalk flipping at the one-finger salute. So I selected 15 minutes out of my valuable packed social calendar to conduct a non-scientific study. 9 out of the next 29 bikers to pass the little park silver Yamaha V-Max showed disdain. Harley people hate the V-Max.
You know what I'm saying?
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This former All-Star played for 5 teams over his 17-year career. He may be best remembered for throwing a no-hitter for the White Sox in only his second major league start.
I don't even notice I was throwing a no-hitter until the 7th inning when Lance Johnson, center field, died for the ball. That's where the scoreboard was, right there. And that's when my heart started pumping real fast.
So where is Wilson Alvarez now? Wilson served as the pitching coach for the State College Spikes until 2008, when he became pitching coach for the Gulf Coast League Orioles. He was inducted into the Venezuelan Baseball Hall of Fame in 2011 and served as pitching coach for the Venezuelan national team in the 2013 World Baseball Classic. Wilson Alvarez, making his country proud once again. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.